Welcome to The Word for Today, featuring the Bible teaching of Pastor Chuck Smith, founder of the Calvary Chapel Movement. This radio program is a verse-by-verse study through the entire Bible.
And on today's edition of The Word for Today, Pastor Chuck continues with Christ our Passover, as we pick up in Matthew chapter 26, verse 2. And now with today's message, here's Pastor Chuck.
As he had finished the discourse, now he said to his disciples, you know, in 2 days is going to be the feast of the Passover. And the Son of Man is to be betrayed, to be crucified. Now, if he was saying this on Monday, it meant that the feast of the Passover in 2 days would, of course, be on Wednesday. And Jesus was crucified on the feast day, the feast of the Passover. So it would appear that Jesus was probably crucified on Wednesday, which would then give you the 3 days and the three nights in the heart of the earth. People have an awful hard time figuring that from a Sunday aspect. From a Friday crucifixion to a Sunday morning, 3 days and three nights takes a lot of juggling. So, after 2 days, the feast of the Passover, and the Son of Man is betrayed to be crucified. Then assembled together the chief priests, the scribes, the elders, the people, unto the palace of the high priest. The high priest was called Caiaphas. Actually, there were two high priests, Caiaphas and Annas. Caiaphas, the appointment of the Roman government, and Annas, the accepted one by the people, the religious people. And they consulted that they might take Jesus by subtlety and kill him. But they said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. So they were doing their best to keep this from happening on the feast day. And yet, in order that it might really fulfill the types of the Old Testament, it was important that Jesus be crucified as the Lamb of God on the feast day. So they were trying to avoid the feast day, but yet there was no way that they could, because that was appropriate, that feast of the Passover, in which they remembered how that the Lamb was slain in order to save the firstborn. So the Lamb of God, establishing now a new covenant of God with people, it was important that it be on that day that commemorated the Passover Lamb, Christ our Passover, suffering for us. Now when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment. And she poured it on his head as he sat at meat. And when his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? Now, in John's gospel, he tells us that the disciple that declared this was Judas Iscariot. When this woman came and poured this expensive perfume on Jesus, perfume that was worth several thousands of dollars, Judas became indignant. And he said, what purpose is this waste? Now, John tells us that Judas said, that could have been sold for several thousand dollars, and we could have given the money to the poor. But John tells us that he said it not because he was really interested in the poor. And this is, of course, where Jesus Christ Superstar really, you know, stumbled and fell on his nose and really revealed the true character of the whole portrayal. Because in this portion, they seem to make Judas appear to be the hero of the whole issue. Here, Judas is a very benevolent man. He has a great concern for the poor. And, you know, this waste, this extravagant waste upon Jesus when the money could have been given to the poor. And Judas comes out as a shining hero. And Jesus becomes, in that portion of the play, a extravagant, careless person who is disregarding the needs of others. But had they only read on, John said that Judas said this not because he cared for the poor, but because he was holding the money and had been thieving out of it. So Judas wasn't really a very magnanimous kind of an individual concerned with the poor. He is holding the bag of money and had been thieving out of the money, and he figured, wow, if we had that in the treasury, there'd be more to pilfer. So they said, this ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. And when Jesus understood it, he said to them, why do you trouble the woman? For she has wrought a good work upon me. For you have the poor always with you, but me you will not always have. For in that she hath poured this ointment on my body, she did it for my burial. And I say unto you, that wherever the gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also this be declared, that this woman hath done, it'll be declared what she has done, and told for a memorial of her. Now, in this, Judas was rather rebuked by Jesus for the statement that he made. And so he left. One of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priest, and he said unto them, what will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you. And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time, he sought the opportunity to betray Christ. Of course, the 30 pieces of silver was a price that was predicted in prophecy in the Old Testament in the book of Zechariah, chapter 11, verses 12 and 13. And then it was told also by Zechariah that the silver would be cast down in the house of the Lord and used to buy a potter's field. 30 pieces of silver was the price that you would have to pay to your neighbor if you had an ox who was always goring people or going around butting people with his horns, and he happened to gore your neighbor's servant and kill him. You would have to pay your neighbor 30 pieces of silver for his gored slave in order to compensate him for the loss of his servant. As in Zechariah said, and name for me the price of which I am prized of you. And they measured out 30 pieces of silver. And he said, a good price that I was prized of them. Throw it down in the house of the Lord. And so Judas, turning against Christ, seeking now to betray him, looking for the opportunity. Now on the first day of the feast of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, where will you that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, go into the city to such a man and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they made ready the Passover. Now, remember that among the Jews, their day does not begin at midnight, as does ours. Their day begins at sundown. So they celebrate their Sabbath dinner not on Saturday night, but on Friday night, because their Sabbath begins at sundown Friday night and goes till sundown Saturday night. So Jesus, having the Passover dinner with his disciples, had it at the beginning of the day of Passover, which began at sundown. And so in the evening, they ate the Passover meal together, but that day continued till sundown the following day. So that on the first day of the feast of the Passover, as the disciples came, it was to prepare the meal for the Passover. And then was not like we take a piece of bread and we drink a cup and have communion, but there was a feast. They would roast the lamb and they would eat the whole thing. And it was just a time of feasting. And in the early church, they had feasts. They called them the agape feast. And so at sundown, they were to have the thing ready and prepared, and they ate then the Passover dinner with Jesus. And then, of course, it was that night that Judas came in the Garden of Gethsemane, and the following day, which would have been the day of the Feast of the Passover, is when Jesus was crucified. So when the even was come, Jesus sat down with the 12. And as they did eat, he said, "Verily I say unto you that one of you is going to betray me." And they were exceeding sorrowful, and they began every one of them to say unto him, "Lord, is it I?" And he answered and said, "He that dips his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. Now the Son of Man is going as it is written of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It had been good for that man if he had not been born." What an awesome thing to say of an individual. But well might that be said of every man who betrays Christ. Well might that be said of every man who refuses to accept Jesus Christ. It would have been good for that person had they never been born than to be born and to live and to reject God's provision for their salvation. You'd be better off if you had never been born than to reject God's love. Then Judas, which betrayed him, answered and said, "Master, is it I?" Of course, he'd already made the agreement. He knew it was him. He had already made the covenant. And Jesus said, "You said it." And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and he blessed it and he broke it. And he gave it to the disciples, and he said, "Take, eat, this is my body." The broken bread, Jesus relates it now to his body. And he took the cup, and he gave thanks. And he gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." Now, here Jesus institutes what we commonly call the Lord's Supper, that which we observe here at Calvary Chapel as we take the broken bread and as we take the cup and as we remember Jesus Christ, his body broken for us, his blood that was shed for our sins. As we remember the new covenant that God has made in the blood of Jesus Christ. The old covenant was established through Moses. The covenant whereby man could relate to God. Whereby a man might come to God. And under the old covenant, man approached God through a priest who offered a sacrifice for that man and for that man's sin. And the priest would go in and approach God for that man. Jesus said, now we're establishing a new covenant, a new approach to God. That approach is through Jesus Christ. In the book of Hebrews, the author goes to great length to declare how much better covenant we have through Jesus Christ, showing that the covenant that God had established by the priesthood of Levi was something that had to be continued year by year. Had the sacrifice been complete, they would not have had to have made it every year going into the Holy of Holies. But Jesus Christ has established a better covenant, a better way, in once and for all giving his life for us, that we through him might be able to come to God and to relate to God. The whole basis of God's covenant with man is relationship with man, man with God. And that basis by which I can come to God and relate to God. Now, God has made the way for all of us to come, and it's through Jesus Christ and the blood that he shed for our sins. And so Christ is establishing now, through this memorial, the Passover, that of which the Passover supper was always looking forward to. They observed the Sabbaths and the new moons and all, Jesus, or Paul said, which were all a shadow of things to come, but the substance, the body, is of Christ. All of the observances of the Passover feast in the Old Testament were all of them just looking forward to the actual Lamb of God who would give his life for the sins of the world and establish a covenant whereby man through him could come into a oneness with God. So that beautiful covenant whereby we come to God through Jesus Christ. Now, I look forward to that day when I drink of it in his Father's kingdom with him. I'm going to have a glorious Lord's Supper someday, and we're going to just be there with Jesus in the kingdom of God. Now, when he had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. I wish that they had had 24-track recording studios in those days. Man, would I love to have a cassette of Jesus singing with his disciples, the 12 singing men. Judas was already gone, so that left the 11 with Jesus. What did they sing? Actually, they sang Psalm 136. This is the psalm they traditionally sang at the close of the Passover. And so you can go back and you can read the lyrics of the song that Jesus sang, the hymn that he sang with his disciples there in Psalm 136, that Hallel psalm, which is traditionally sung at the end of the Passover feast. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who alone does great wonders, for his mercy endures forever. To him by his wisdom has made the heavens, and on through that psalm that declares of the glorious mercies of God. And the law came by Moses, but grace and truth through Jesus Christ. The demonstration of God's mercies for man. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written in Zechariah, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. And Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of you, yet will I never be offended. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crows, you shall deny me three times. And Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. And likewise also said all the disciples. Peter is guilty here of boasting in his flesh, and really, in a sense, declaring that his love was superior to the love of the other disciples. When Jesus told him the prophecy of Zechariah, smite the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered abroad, all of you are going to be offended tonight because of me, Peter said, Lord, though they may be offended, I will never be offended. Boasting in the flesh, I will never be offended. And Jesus responded, Peter, before the cock crows, you will have denied me three times. Peter continued to argue with the Lord. Arguing with the Lord has to be folly. Have you ever engaged in that folly? I have. I have found myself arguing with the Lord. I was always wrong. Peter was challenging the statements of Jesus. Though they, I will never be. Lord, I would never deny you. I would die for you. Do not doubt Peter's sincerity. Do not doubt his devotion. I believe that Peter was absolutely sincere when he declared this. I believe at that moment, Peter believed what he was saying to be absolutely true. I believe that Peter felt that he would actually lay down his life for Jesus. I will die with you. I would never deny you. But it does show us the folly of vows that are made predicated upon the ability of our flesh. To make a promise to God, to make a vow to God, is only to trust in the flesh.
We'll return with more of our verse-by-verse Bible study in the book of Matthew on our next broadcast, as Pastor Chuck continues to teach through the Bible. And we do hope you'll make plans to join us. But right now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, simply order Matthew 26 when visiting thewordfortoday.org. And while you're there, be sure to browse the many additional biblical resources by Pastor Chuck. You can also subscribe to the Word for Today podcast or sign up for our email subscription. Once again, that's thewordfortoday.org. For those of you wishing to call, our toll-free number is 1-800-272-WORD, and our office hours are Monday through Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. Again, that's 1-800-272-9673. If you prefer to write, our mailing address is The Word for Today, P.O. Box 8000, Costa Mesa, California, 92628. And now, on behalf of The Word for Today, we'd like to thank all of you who share in supporting this ministry with your prayers and financial support. And be sure to join us again next time as Pastor Chuck continues his verse-by-verse study through the Bible. That's right here on the next edition of The Word for Today. And now, once again, here's Pastor Chuck.
Now may the Lord be with you, and may the Lord watch over you and keep you in His love, in His grace. May the Lord cause you to abound in every good work for Jesus Christ. And may the Lord grant to you new dimensions of relationship with Him, that you might become more keenly aware of His presence with you and His power to help you. May God bless you. May you have just a fruitful, blessed week walking with Jesus Christ.
This program has been sponsored by Calvary Chapel of Costa Mesa, California.
This Christmas, why not give the gift of God's Word by choosing the Word for Today Bible featuring Chuck Smith's notes highlighting a simple understanding of the Scriptures. This Bible includes an exhaustive concordance, cross-references, in-text and color maps, words of Christ in red, and Chuck Smith's commentary notes including Hebrew and Greek word origins. And in the Word for Today Bible softcover edition, we've included Chuck Smith's book, How Can a Man Be Born Again?, which is very informative for a new believer. It's our prayer that as your loved ones read the Word for Today Bible, Chuck's commentaries will give a simple understanding into the Scriptures, causing God's Word to come to life in their heart, not only drawing them into a closer relationship with the Lord, but stirring them to passionately serve God. For more information, please call The Word for Today at 800-272-9673 or visit us online at thewordfortoday.org to read a preview.